If you're looking to whet your appetite for engaging and informative talk radio, the lineup at the Fantasy Sports and Politics Network has exactly what you need. Shows like The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, Time Out with women's basketball legend Sylvia Crawley, Compassion Dakini, hosted by Kim Fung, No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor, the FSP Crew Show with co-hosts Jerry Black and the Joker, and the Fantasy Sports and Politics Show, all focus on the hot topics in sports, politics, and in life. By visiting fantasysportsandpolitics.web.com, you'll gain great insight into each program and host, access to the show's archives, as well as outstanding articles, photos, and a whole lot more. As well, because of its large and steadily growing following, fantasysportsandpolitics.web.com is a great place to advertise. Stop by today at fantasysportsandpolitics.web.com. Information, motivation, variety.
Hello, hello, hello. It's that time again. No chaser time. I am your co-host, JT, and in the building with us is Mac Williams, the host. And we do have our special guest also. So let me bring in Mac, and then we'll go from there. Welcome.
Welcome, Mac. Welcome, everybody. This is Welcome to the No Chaser Show. This is your host, Mac Williams. Just wanted to let you guys know that I have had a great week. Hope you have had a great week also. My co-host, Jerry, always my sidekick, always been there for me, and I appreciate that.
I want to get the show started
today with our guest. We have the CEO, the head man, the number one dude, Demetrius Spencer, CEO of Ball Up. Is that Inc.? I-N-C? Is that what that is?
No, but you can definitely just call it Ball Up. How you guys doing?
Good.
All right,
man. Good,
all right.
Demetrius. Glad to have you, man. Glad we can make
Welcome.
It. Dude, in the 2 years I've been doing this show, you are officially Obama. I think the hardest time getting you, dude, on the phone, it's like calling the freaking president.
I think you and my mom have the same sentiments, which is pretty sad, isn't it?
God.
Wow.
I'm like,
that's the complaint I get from my mom all the time. I'm gonna tell you, I had a bad story happen one time, which made me change my perspective on things. My mom called me one time, and this one time I wasn't doing anything. So I was driving. I answered the phone. I was like, "Hey, Mom, what's up?" And she said, she didn't even say hello. She said, "Oh, you're probably in a meeting. You got to call me back. Bye." I said,
wow.
Ever since then, I take 5 minutes a day and make sure I call her and say hi and how you doing, and it made me change my perspective and understand how important your family is, and I never wanted to have that message relayed. So to you, I apologize about the 2 years. I've heard that many times before. But, you know, it's a little difficult when you're building your own and have your own as opposed to when you're just working inside a corporation.
I understand it. And just to make a correction, I'm not saying I've been trying to get you for 2 years. I'm saying in the 2 years I've been doing this show, you've been the most difficult. Everybody else is like, they show up, they hear, they're good. With Demetrius, it's like, I've set this joint twice. Me and Pammy been knowing each other. I knew Pammy before Ball Up. And when she finally got it together, and she was like, "Look, you want to have Demetrius on it?" I'm like, "Cool." Then she'd be like, "Man, he over in another country. I don't know if I can get him on." And then I was like, "All right, fine." I was like, "Jeez." I was like, "This dude is like, man, I got to be like you when I grow up, man, where I can't take phone calls and I'm always in meetings. Jesus." Anyway, glad to have you, man.
That's
I really
hilarious.
Appreciate that, honestly. I'm just giving you a hard time. But the thing I want to ask, because I've only got an hour and I know you got something else to do, so I want to kind of shoot this stuff out to you quick and find out. You guys are coming up on, what year is this now, Ball Up?
We're actually going into what I guess to everybody considers to be our third year. The company was established in 2009, I'll say around December 2009. Mm-hmm. But as far as our public awareness, television awareness and live event awareness, we're going into our third year.
Okay. And let me Yeah, this is the question I've always asked. This is the question I'm going to ask off the top because I have to. Because people know, you know, why I'm asking this question. But here's the number one question that was asked this summer, just a couple of days ago. You know what was asked a couple of days ago? And you know who I work for, and you know where I am in the summer. Number one question, you know what everybody said when I went down to Bill Goodman? When is Ball Love going to come down here and play us? And I said, I don't know. But guess what? I said, I'm gonna have the CEO of the Ball Up on, and I'm gonna ask him and find out when. Because I just want you to know, Demetrius, not to put pressure on you, but the biggest games, some of the biggest games we had in the Goodman League history have been when Ann1 was coming down every summer. I mean, gotcha. I'm talking about, let me say this, I'm telling you, if you didn't have your seat by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, now, mind you, the game didn't start till like 6:37. If you didn't have your seat by then, you didn't get no seat. Like, you had to, like, come literally, like, sometimes I had to come down and put my seat down there, have somebody watch it, and go back to work. Like, that's crazy. Like, that place was so low. I don't know if you've seen the film on it. But
no, I haven't. I've seen great a league you guys have at Goodman. That's what I have seen.
Yeah.
And I give you a lot of respect for that.
Yeah.
And on top of seeing it, of course, you know, Baby Shaq is a part of our organization and a part of our team now.
You know,
and
you're late with that, right?
You like the way I avoided that, right? And you know that I hear from him the stories all the time.
Yes, sir.
On how great an organization it is.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. And that's the thing.
Hold on. Before I move on, it's not just Shaq because I hear from Pat the Rock too.
Oh yeah, Pat from this area.
I know.
If you press on tell Fest will tell you the same thing.
I've heard it from all of them, but I definitely hear it in general conversation from the guys that are there.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great league. It's been around for 36, 37 years now. Miles, the current commissioner, has had it for 17 years and took it to where it is now. Now we have Red Bull and Nike as our major sponsors. I mean, from where he took it in the projects in the hood to where it is now, which is still there, it's just crazy. I mean. So, I mean, we want you guys to be a part of it because it's no sense in you guys being the only ones out here. And one had their turn. Now we want to get the current guys. And the thing about it is you have a great chance because you're not bringing in amateurs or guys who don't know what to expect.
So
they're
that's very
come
true.
With their game anyway. So, you know, you got to call
those
in.
Those are playing at a whole different level. I think we just recently changed the sentiments and the dynamic of what street ball is in the world of China. You know, when we just went over there and we played against their top CBA teams, right? Mm-hmm. And their CBA is like our NBA.
Right.
And, you know, I didn't know going ahead of time. I thought it was going to be, hey, let's take 8 guys. This is going to be cool. You want to, do something because we have a big, big, big brand awareness and fan awareness over there. You know, last time we went, we took Allen Iverson and Rayford Austin, Skip to Malou over there. And,
exactly.
You know, they welcomed us with open arms, and we had great games. So, you know, I said, okay, a couple of the CBA teams want to play against you guys. Would you come? Sure. Play anybody. And we go over there and play. And, you know, game one, they come with their whole roster plus another team's roster. At the end of the day, shortest guy was about 6'4", tallest 6'10", on their team, and it was just a peer-out brawl, competitive game.
Right.
And, you know, we end up winning that first game.
Wow.
Right? And what I didn't know, which I found out later by press, media, and the buzz all through China, was they didn't think that street ball guys could actually play with their pro guys over there, and we were supposed to lose by 30 or 40.
Wow.
And we went out and beat them the first game. Mm-hmm. And beat them with 8 guys compared to their whole deep roster and everything else they had.
Wow.
And the whole 15,000 people in the arena on their side, which at the end of the third quarter – mm-hmm. started booing their team and chanting ball up the rest
wow.
of the game.
Wow.
You know, and you know, we came back the second game, which was crazy, and we played again. Now we're playing against, okay, a team full of anger because it's like now you've embarrassed us in our own country, right? And just to give you an idea how strong the team was, we played on the team that J.R. Smith played on when he went
wow.
over there. And we wow. know Tracy McGrady plays over there during the summer, and Tracy's team, T-Mac's team, was actually ranked number 11 over there when this team
mm-hmm.
was ranked in the top five that we played
mm-hmm.
against.
Mm-hmm.
We came back the second game, and unfortunately in the first game, Bone Collector had hurt his knee.
Okay.
Went to the hospital, had a brace on it, and I didn't want him to try to play again, even though he was willing to do so, seeing we got our U.S. tour coming up.
Right.
And one of the other guys we took. So we literally played the second game with six guys.
My
and
wow.
unfortunately we lost, but we only lost by 3 points playing with six guys
Jeez.
Over there. And I think we shocked, I won't say shocked the world, but we shocked the world of China, that's for sure.
Wow.
All the way to the point where they have now deemed us as the best basketball team that have come over there from the U.S. and played against them and played against their pro teams. And now they've invited us back to do almost 25 different events over there. So, and I say that to say the guys that we have really understand a game and would love to come play a game over with you guys and your organization. And you're right, it is a different set of guys. It's a different set that would come. They would understand what they're going into, and they'd be
right.
surely ready for it.
Exactly. And that's what, and to be honest with you, that was the game. What did we play? I think we played a total of about 4 or 5 games. And, I mean,
uh-huh.
those games were like when you beat And1, it was like, yeah. So it was like when you beat the guys who were on TV, for the city, for Berry Farms, it was a pride thing. It was like, no, let's
right.
beat these guys and send them home. Same way Nike sends their guys from New York, and we usually on an annual basis we kick their butts and send them home. So it's just one of those things where it's like, come on down, take your lumps, go home, come back
now,
with a new set of dudes.
But here's my thing, and I'm gonna tell you this. So
mm-hmm.
after we come down there and do what we have to do, you
mm-hmm.
personally
mm-hmm.
are gonna make sure that we're welcome with open arms every single time we come down. Because after we deliver a whooping, people, like, their hearts get taken and people get sad.
Oh.
You know what
no,
I mean?
No.
That happens. See, here's the difference. No, but here's the difference.
Like what I want to do is
left.
After we come do that, then it's like,
uh-huh.
hey, let's come back for round two next year. And let us get a different squad and come against you. And we'll try again.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys could try another squad the next year, right?
Right. But that's the But what you're not understanding is, but that's what we did with And1. It was a series. They beat us. At one point, we were tied 2-2. So it wasn't like we were mad or pissed off. We was like, okay, they got us. We'll get you next year. That's what I'm saying.
I totally believe that. I'm joking.
Yeah,
I totally believe that.
Yeah, because, I mean, Shaq could tell you, it wasn't a heated rivalry, like, it wasn't personal. It was like, okay, y'all got us. You know what? Next when you come back, we're going to smack y'all. You know?
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. The rivalry was so big because people came. It drew so many people. I mean, we had the mayor come down. We have the Secretary of Education come down and play in games. So, I mean, you guys coming down and beating us wouldn't faze us. We would go at y'all hard, talk about you just like we do everything else. But at the same time, that's what we want. We want an annual game with you guys. I think it'll give you guys great exposure. I think it'll give us great exposure. I mean, and what would bring down their cameras? We were part of the actual TV show.
The show.
We were the annual one. They would come down and film and everything else. That's how your man Hot Sauce got embarrassed. He never came down here for 4 or 5 years and never played in the game. And everybody, that was the infamous game where they start singing Hot Sauce Wear Panties. I mean, that's where that came from.
I can't discredit him. Unfortunately, he and I don't even know each other. But I will tell you one thing.
Right.
Everybody on my team will step on that court.
Exactly. And that's what we want. That's why I said you have an advantage over with And1.
Right.
Because when they first came, they didn't know. After that, they got used to it. But then it just became. But the great thing about it is, it became such a great match all the games were like close. It wasn't like somebody blew each. We weren't like we were blowing each other out. It was just
it was
always come down
game,
to last possessions, right? And that's what we want to establish. And I kept telling Pam, I said, that's what I want with you guys. I want to pick this back up and then have Nabi ball up coming down here. We get exposure. Y'all get exposure. We're the number one summer league in the country. Coming down here on your tour. I mean, we were on their actual tour schedule. Like, when they came to D.C., they would have the game at Verizon Center, but they would come on Friday night and play outside. And then the next day they would play inside in, at Verizon. So it's a game that I think you should look at. And I know you, your tour is already set for this summer, but, you know, please, by all means, man, people are clamoring for that game. They really want it, you know, because we don't really, to be honest with you, we don't really see you guys on TV in this market too much. But Shaq was just telling me when he came, when I saw
well,
the
you
other
definitely
day,
will now.
He was saying now you will now because you guys changed over network. So I was real happy about that. I was like, good, because we need to see, you know, guys from this area. It'll only draw a bigger audience if you see guys from the area who actually are here, you know, Pat and Shaq. And everybody knows, you know, Professor has been welcomed here with love and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So it'll be great for us. But let me ask
no,
you
No, we
question.
Definitely are. And, that, and that's one thing. That's one thing for you to know for your whole area. Yeah, the past 2 years, we're on Fox Sports Network, which we know is a national network, and it has regional channels. So, you know, one of the regional channels may or may not be in there. I'm not sure. You know, like in New York, it's MSG, MSG Plus.
Right.
You got Comcast South. And
right.
You got all your Fox Sports South and Fox Sports West and all those networks.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, with the launch of Fox Sports One, which is really cool, is our program being as compelling it was, they are now moving it to Fox Sports One, which is the national network that, you know, I guess you can put as the comparable to what ESPN
okay.
is.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. Can you please, before the tour starts, before the show really starts, can you please make sure that you give me what channel that would be, let's say, on Comcast, on DirecTV, things like so I can put that on our Facebook, our Twitter, so that way I can get the buzz out. And then that way, you know, people can tune in and know, hey, man, check out Shaq, check out Pat, check out Ball Up on blah, 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 blah. And then if you – because what will happen is I'll put it out that y'all on, and then everybody will hit me with 50,000 questions, like, what channel is it on? Well, what channel is it on this? What is it on this? You know, and I don't want to redo that. I really want to say, turn to this if you got this, this if you got this, and this if you got this, if your cable channel, and then you can find them. So if you can do that, man, I definitely make sure that people watch.
I would definitely do that.
Great. The thing I wanted to ask you is, How did this start? That's what I wanted to ask you. Like, where did you start? Let's find out about you first. Like, how did you get in? I mean, how'd you make your money? How'd you come into this? Tell me a little bit about Demetrius so we know who this guy is that is building this brand.
I think the long, you know, the short version. Of course, there's a
cool.
long life story that goes
exactly.
behind it.
Right.
But the short version of the story is. Like I grew up in Pasadena, California, played ball my whole life, you know,
mm-hmm.
and all my friends did. All of them were ranked top in the country, you know, top players in Southern California and top players in the nation. And, you know, we all played at premier high schools, just like anywhere else, right? So basketball and education were the two prime things in my life growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Went to a magnet high school, and I was fortunate enough to play at a big basketball school also.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
From there, coming out, just like everybody else, was recruited by, you know, top colleges.
Mm-hmm.
Going into my first year, unfortunately, I got into a car accident. I got
wow.
hit by an 18-wheel truck.
Ooh.
And I heard a 2-disc in my lower back, which kind of set me back at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And just because I had to go through rehab and stuff and really couldn't play, you know, my first year out, but within doing so, I found another passion, which was business,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay.
And you know, you're talking about the age of 17, was able to then start a career where I was started managing artists. One of the first known actors or actresses, I'll say, I managed, which sounds really funny. I mean, funny to an extent of, I'm a 17, 18-year-old, and one of the biggest shows out was Power Rangers, and I managed the Yellow Power Ranger, right? And it sounds
right.
crazy, but if you remember back then, that was one of our biggest things out, right?
Exactly.
And
it was.
Right.
She
wow.
had a phenomenal career, and I think even with that, I give not only that move and earn a lot of credit, but it opened the door to the world of entertainment.
Okay.
And from there, I ventured right into music and very fortunately had a lot of success at a young age, man. I started 17, 18 and started managing music artists and producers and writers and worked on some of the biggest acts that you knew between the R&B, hip-hop, and pop genre for many years. And then around the age of 26, 27, went into the corporate world where I then became a vice president, which was my first entry into the corporate world at Universal, with Universal Records and Motown Records.
Wow.
And then just from there climbed up, continued to climb up the ladder. But at the same time, that wasn't really my goal. Like, I never wanted to be the head of a record label or
anything
of that nature. What I really wanted to do was own my own multimedia entertainment company, a place where you can come, we could finance, we would produce, and we would distribute content. And, you know, one of the things I've lived by since I was a kid, and you know, when I say a kid, I'm talking about my professional career beginning at 17, was that the key to success is in ownership.
Yes, it is.
Right, and
I agree.
I used to look at no matter how high I made it in universe, I had the dream job, and everybody under the world, which you know, like you're the one of the heads of an A&R department, and you could do almost anything you want at that time.
Right.
That wasn't what made me happy in life, because you know they go sell Universal, and what do you get? You get a great employment package, right?
Right.
You build your own. You have your own equity. You build your own brand. It's a whole different ball game.
At the
sale time. And so,
I got you.
Like I said, it's for me, it was all about building something that we have and we own of our own. And so we started to do that. I then partnered with – I had some great partners that come out of the Texas, the Dallas, and Fort Worth area to do so. And we built this multimedia company where you're able to do that and start in the world of television and film, and you know, still had music ventures, still had a label deal at Def Jam and a deal at Universal and all over the map. But that became our focus. From there, one of the things I always wanted to get back into was, look, I still play ball every day, all day.
Right.
How do I enter back into the world of sports with something I love? And I really didn't want to be an agent. I didn't want to be a manager. Had a ton of relationships. But like I said, I go back to the key to success is in ownership. So how do you identify a space that you can own something within that sport?
Right.
And that's how Ball Up, you know, the thought of Ball Up became created. There were guys that in the beginning that I had a very close relationship with that grew up in Pasadena that were part of, you know, your N1 team with your Sick Wittits and Spin Masters and so forth, that I was able to talk to and talk about the brand and understand the space and kind of understand what was going on in that space at that time. And the one thing I saw, which I didn't understand, was every product in the world has a competitor. Everything. I don't care if you got water. I don't care if you have tissue. I don't care if you have, you know, a television. Every product has a competitor. And during that time, they owned a space of their own with zero competitors to me. But I also saw something that I feel like was not recognized by that previous brand. And
which was? I'm going to see if you get this one. Because I know what it
is. I'm going to tell you what I think it is, and I'm going to tell you where we are with Ball Up by that. They did a very good job. They did a very good job in the shoe and the apparel space, right? What they didn't identify was that they had a true sport on their hands. And at the end of the day, street ball is a true professional sport. And the analogy I use when people try to understand, because some people say, hey, do you compete with the NBA? Do you compete with the Globetrotters? You know, is it like that? Because, look, when you post stuff and they see all the highlight plays, and it's like, is it the Globetrotters or what? I was like, no. Here, let me help you understand what it is. What it is the NBA is like boxing. We're like the UFC, and the WWE is like the Globetrotters. It's a very performance-driven sport. You know, I also think there's two sides of it, and this is not mm-hmm. to discredit anybody, but I,
right.
you know, they say street ball, when they think of street ball, they think of just purely outdoor only, and I don't. What I think
right.
of is it's a style of basketball. It's,
right.
it's funny, you watch NBA All-Star game, that's a street ball game. You watch
exactly.
certain guys in the NBA play, they play
right.
a street ball style. It is a
right.
flashier style of basketball
right.
that has people on the edge of their seats and they ooh and ah, than
right.
every time you
right.
watch a game.
Absolutely.
You know? So I was able to then go see that and see there was a sport and do something that I'll use what makes it easy to understand is what Dana White and you know, the, and I don't want to mispronounce their names, the brothers on the hotel, the Fertitta
mm-hmm.
brothers.
Mm-hmm.
The owners of the UFC, what they did was they took an extreme sport. Mm-hmm. They put it in a larger-than-life venue,
mm-hmm.
right? They put
mm-hmm.
the entertainment value around it, and
mm-hmm.
then they put it on national television.
Right.
And they put rules around the sport.
Right.
And now it became one of our biggest fighting sports.
Right.
What
exactly.
we have done was identified the sport. We
mm-hmm.
put it in the right venue. We put entertainment value around it. We
right.
put rules around it. And
right.
we put it on a global platform. And it, where
right.
it's now distributed and seen with live events,
right.
and with television, and with your online media space.
Right.
And, you know, and we found a way to now integrate what was taken away from it is some of the guys who grew up, who now play in NBA, who couldn't be a part of the sport before, how do you integrate them back? Well,
right.
those guys now become judges, they become coaches, and they brand their own teams that they make up
right.
to compete against other teams against
exactly.
us.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And so that's really where it has become. So we focused on the sport first, and as you focus on the sport, all the ancillary businesses around it will come on their own.
Right.
So then
exactly.
you now create this very cool sports lifestyle brand, which we are, that now has a retail component, a merchandise, apparel, video
mm-hmm.
games, feature mm-hmm. film space,
mm-hmm.
beverage space,
mm-hmm.
Anything you can manage, you can create those businesses and monetize them because you've now created the core base of it, which is the sport of street ball with live event activation and television.
Absolutely. And I agree,
well,
and I agree with that. Go ahead. I'm sorry,
Jay. Let me ask you this question. How did you get corporate America to buy into that?
You talking about a battle? Now that was a battle.
I bet
okay.
it was.
It was only a battle, and everything I do, I try to, like I said, I definitely don't like ever speaking negatively or discrediting anybody.
Sure.
So the battle came from they looked at previous brands, and I say brands as plural, as purely only urban brands and they weren't multicultural and they weren't mainstream. And that was a problem
right.
for them.
Right.
Okay.
And what you have to do is you have to understand why a major corporation works. Where do they want to spend their dollars? What eyeballs do they want to attract? And you just
mm-hmm.
have to understand their business also. Like, you can't understand
right.
just your own, but
right.
you
right.
have to understand and know your business and understand theirs so that you become
right.
appealing to them.
Absolutely.
So, unfortunately, in the past, you know, when you talk about, hey, I'm going to have an open run live event tryout to an arena, well, they weren't managed as well in the past. So
mm-hmm.
it attracted the wrong environment, things happen at those events that made them unappealing for arenas to allow them to happen again, right?
Right, right.
Major corporations and brands said, okay, well, last time we got involved, the companies that ran them, it wasn't run smooth enough.
Right.
The activations weren't smooth enough so that what
right.
they guaranteed us, we did not receive.
Right.
So
exactly.
you have to get over those hurdles first.
Right.
The thing we had on our side was, look, I come from this entertainment background and dealing with corporations, so I had a lot of relationships that trust us in general, and we also
mm-hmm.
are a film and television multimedia company. So there was a lot
right.
of trust there to
right.
begin with. So walking in the door saying this is a different crew, a different team, we're gonna run this operation totally different
right.
than what you've ever known it to be before.
Right.
Right? So I want you to eliminate the past and just think about if this is brand new and the future of it.
Right.
And here's what I will deliver you. And
right.
fortunately enough, we've been able to do so. And now we have a lot of great partners involved, i.e., you know, one of the biggest hurdles was how do you get the sport back on television?
Right.
Right?
Right.
You only have so many sport networks out
right.
there that exist that would
right.
do it, and we know who the big two are.
Right.
And so
right.
ESPN had the run already. So, you know, because of the relationship that Cameron Murray and Tracy Murray had, they were able to walk me in the door at Fox, and there were prior stuff we've done, and they believed in us and gave it a shot. They believed
okay.
we would deliver exactly what we said. And that first year, we over-delivered.
Gotcha.
And when you over-deliver, people want you back.
Right.
And now,
exactly.
i.e., why we're going into our third year. And,
right.
And then because of those things, you know, our first year we had Toyota come in as a sponsor, which is very
wow.
rare. Like, normally sponsors don't just jump in the middle of a season, but they watched
right.
us the first two or three times and said, you know what, you guys are really doing what you said you're going to do. We're going to find a way to get involved in this right now by game four. And
right.
they came in as a media partner with us.
Wow. Wow.
And that helped set the tone for year two. And, you know,
exactly.
year two we had... As you know, some great partners. You know,
right.
Toyota was another media partner. Hilton then came in as a partner. Wilson now came in as a partner. Under Armour came in as a sponsorship. McDonald's on the McDonald's TV piece then came in and said, here, let us help create awareness. You become a content provider for us and so forth. The Marines came in as a partner.
Wow.
I believe Powerade did then also. So we were able to just basically show and prove. And as easy as I make it sound, it's
mm-hmm.
1,000 times harder.
Oh, trust me, I believe.
You know, because
you made it sound because I
because
know
on top of that you
got to
exactly and on top of that, you know, people think the misconception is, hey, you just go out and do a tour. Well, you can't just snap your fingers and put on a tour.
No, you
right.
got to pay for hotel rooms. You got to pay for all kind of stuff. You got to take care of. It's
let's
more
just start with the venue. Let's start with the easy things. Let's start with venue and staffing. And I don't know if you've ever – yeah, I know you haven't attended a game before, but if you've ever seen our games, our production value in an arena is larger than life. It's like going to an NBA All-Star game where you have LED boards and stages and smoke and power. Like, we wanted to create a family-friendly environment around
right,
the sport.
Exactly.
And to move that around the country is not an easy thing to do.
No, it's not.
And then on top of it, to create the awareness for it
right.
is not an easy thing to do
right,
right out the gate, you
right.
know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of people say, okay, well, you tour, you can do this and that, but, look, it takes a lot to be able to do so. And then on top of it, when you're moving that, you're moving a whole television team around the country, too.
Exactly.
Filming a TV
exactly.
show.
Well, let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this, Demetrius. Are you guys going to do the? Are you guys going to have a video game or anything for the players or anything like that? And if you do, here's one thing that kind of bothered me about the last people that did this kind of thing. Is
quick
that a
answer
lot of
is
it,
yes, we are. Go ahead.
Right. And the thing I think I didn't like, and maybe you can enlighten me on this, because maybe I'm just wrong. But one of the things I looked at a lot is I saw a lot. I felt like I'm going to tell you like this. I felt like the players were slaves and were used, but when it came down to when they were making money, I just saw it as the players made all this money for the company, but the company never gave it back or was never involved. Like, for instance, when the video game was made, I don't understand how nobody got paid out, how the players didn't get paid out that video game.
Hey, you
everybody's making money
I'm
right now.
I'm going to make it bigger than that.
Okay.
Because I don't understand that either.
I mean,
not
I don't
only
think.
Do I not understand that, I don't understand how companies grow so big and they don't allow the people that help them get there participate at some point.
And don't listen.
You know?
And don't listen to the players, because I remember specifically, you know, Shaq coming to me and saying, man, you know, we told them to do this and this and this. We were seeing it because we out there. These guys not out there at the events and stuff. And we tell them, do this, do this, do this. And they just look at us like, uh-huh, okay.
That's,
and then they just don't
the
do
difference.
It.
That, okay, so there's multiple answers that go with that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big differences between us and previous companies,
I understand.
Our company has guys that live the lifestyle of basketball and streetball.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to talk about the person who runs it, me, like, that's been my life, my
right.
whole life. Like,
right.
I understand the sport, the space, mm-hmm. the lifestyle, the game.
Right.
Not just streetball, basketball in general. I understand the culture, the whole nine. You know, there are certain successful companies that are just purely apparel companies.
Right.
You can't expect them to understand that. That's
right.
not what they do. So, you know, we're very diverse. We have people that specialize in each department that understand
right.
that space extremely well.
And that's
so that's
the,
one
and that
thing.
Was the thing. And that's the thing, because my biggest driver, and Shaq will tell you this, anybody who knows me will tell you this, I'm about players, because I came up in a time, probably Jerry did too, where you didn't have AAU. You didn't have people
right.
training you one-on-one how to do stuff. The advantages that the basketball players, you know, this generation has now is just so open. But for me, there's so many guys that are great that fall through the cracks. And for me, it's guys who don't get a chance to go to NBA, but everybody acts like, oh, NBA is the only thing there is. No, it's not. There's overseas. There's
other company
and one. Right, there's Ball Up. So there's other, that's what I'm saying, other options. But I think one of the things that bothered me the most about the other company was that it was as if you play, but it was like the players were never vested. They never felt like, you know how to, I guess the best way to do it, and you can
I know exactly
analogy.
What you're talking about, because
I've changed
that.
I come in every day, and I get these raises, and I get this salary. But I'm busting my tail, and I'm doing more than what I'm found. I'm really not being paid what I'm worth. And that's and in the corporate world, that's sometimes, okay, that's fine. But for me, what bothered me is it's like, but when I go outside the box and I'm bringing, when I'm the person that's the front person and I'm bringing in the video games, I'm bringing the kids to the joint, and I'm bringing this, and this is my, that, the players are the product. At some point, a player's not going to feel good about, I don't get no ownership, I don't feel like I'm earning this. I feel like if I'm bringing a video game, I should get paid. If I'm getting my own shoe, that's great. I should get something off that shoe. My thing is taking care of players so that long term, when they're not playing anymore, they've got something coming in, some kind of income, some kind of, not saying it has to be millions and billions of dollars. I'm not talking about that, because I'm not saying that. But I'm saying bringing these guys either into the organization, same way the NBA does, or if they're not in the organization, at least I know, okay, as long as this guy's shoe is selling, he should be getting paid for it. This video game, everybody should be getting a piece of it. As long as they're still selling that video game, they should have something invested in it. And that's what kind of bothered me about the other one. It was almost like slave labor. It was like, okay, we're going to put these guys out here, work them to death, do this, and just be happy with your salary now. Be happy with that check you get. But we're going to give you your own shoe, but we're not going to give you no money off that shoe. We're going to just go ahead and keep selling the shoe, and you can just be happy that you got your name on your shoe, and you can brag and say you have your own shoe. And I'm just like, that is one thing that, you know, I've had long talks with Shaq about. You know, when he was there,
well,
I was like, dude, this time, do it right, man. You know, I get on him all the time.
I'm gonna tell you the big difference,
mm-hmm.
so you know.
Okay.
You're actually preaching to the choir. So,
right.
If you ask any of my players that started day one, you ask
mm-hmm.
them what is the very first thing I ever said to them is,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to teach you guys how to build a business so you have a life after basketball.
Thank you.
That's number one. Number two is, they're all built, and I can't go into details of it,
but
they're all built so that every time that a product is built around their brand, they become equity partners in it.
Okay.
They don't become just, hey, because you get a fee, that's it, thank you. But you build, if you're used to build a brand and you
mm-hmm.
build a product, you become
mm-hmm.
equity partners. So when you do finish playing ball, that product may live in retail for who knows how many years, and you're still receiving money off of it, and it's a part of a business for you. And that's the only way I know how to do things, to be honest with you. And I totally agree with what you're saying about the past, and it's why I wanted it something totally different for the structure that we have. You know,
mm-hmm.
one of the first people that have started down that path is actually Pat the Rock, and Pat went and he started a brand called, with the messaging, and it's not even the brand, the messaging of AIP, anything is possible.
Oh, yeah.
And once now made aware of it,
mm-hmm.
I am taking helping him take his company and now integrating it into what we do to support it, to give it mass exposure, to help it now get into major retailers as we go into retailers so that he has his own business and his own brand, and that within those retailers, which is hard to get unless you have all the components we have
exactly.
to get there. But guess what that does? That builds his business for him. So when
right.
he stops playing and he's just doing camps and stuff, he has an apparel brand business that we have now built together and supported for himself. And I'm doing
okay.
that with each one of the guys, but it also, there's a gigantic but to it.
Mm-hmm.
It also has to be the guys that are proactive in building their own business, too.
No, you're right, and absolutely.
Because
don't
you can't
me,
sit
don't
back.
Get me wrong.
You can't sit back and just
no,
expect somebody just
no.
to hand it all over to you. And so
no,
what I've told
no.
them is, and I tell them millions of times, identify the fact that I've given you a larger-than-life marketing vehicle. I've put you on a platform to gain exposure. You have live
mm-hmm.
events, you have television, and you have startup. And with
right.
that, you now build your business around it. Now, you can come to me, and I will tell you how to do it. I will support you with doing it. I'll take you there, but you got to be proactive to do it.
Right. You got to get in there and do
like,
the hard
I'm not
work.
Just
going to
go
footwork.
Do it, and then just,
right.
here you go. Right?
No, I understand
because
what you're saying,
that
though.
You have to build a true partnership.
But,
so certain guys are now becoming mm-hmm. proactive in building their business, and with doing so, they'll benefit off of it. Now, when it comes to businesses that we just own, I have a very smart way, like within film and television, like
mm-hmm.
in an independent model. If you do that, you know, let's take the film model on an independent model. Well,
mm-hmm.
normally your big name actors all have a back end ownership pool that they all
mm-hmm.
participate in the success of that film, right? Well, that's the way I'm now treating items like a video game. They don't
mm-hmm.
just get a fee. There's a back end pool for the team that's associated
exactly.
with the game. Of ownership within it. So if there's a product where it takes the whole team and the organization and it's not individualized, like
mm-hmm.
Pat's business is individualized, or you know, or Shaq's shoe is just his business, or
mm-hmm.
Fess's, you know, watch line is just his business, but
mm-hmm.
this is a team
mm-hmm.
thing,
mm-hmm.
then
mm-hmm.
there's a pool granted for them where they all are profit participants and equity owners in it, and they get to benefit long term off that product.
Absolutely, and you know what now I can be more vocal and get behind you guys, because that was the one thing, because of the last time, you know, because I, you know, when I knew Shaq when he was 26 and he had started with N1 and everything, it was just like, you know, I loved him, but I was just like, man, on the back end, I just saw all this other stuff, and I was just like, dude, this is crazy. Like, this is, like, not
just,
right.
You know, at the end
of
the day, it just wasn't fair.
No,
period.
It wasn't fair. And for me,
it wasn't.
To hear you say this, it's like, it's a breath of fresh air, because I'm like, okay.
It is. And
you know,
I'm going to tell you there's two sides to it, and I understand it completely. What I just explained, what you said you like, what I just explained we do, it's just the way we choose to run a business. Like,
right.
I also understand how corporations run, and I understand
right.
that they look at it as pure business. They look at,
right.
I'm paying you X amount of dollars, I can do whatever I want with it, you sign up for your salary just like any other employee, and that's my business. That's just the real world, and that's how corporations are run, and we can't
right.
change the world. It is what it is, right?
Right. But you have to have your
We're
own
We're just fortunate
thing, so
enough that
change the rules.
Us, as an organization, we can
right.
change the rules for what we have.
Exactly.
Right? And that's what we're doing. So it's like, I cannot, like, I know what they did in the past, agree with mm-hmm. it or disagree with it.
Right.
We all have our own sentiments to it.
You're right.
It is what it is.
Right.
But I also understand it. I also understand their business. I also understand why they did what they did and who they
I
were.
Do too.
And they did a great business doing it.
But you can't, but
just,
you can't, but at the
we're
same
just going
time,
to go in a different direction.
But I guess my thing is, at the end of the night, I got to be able to sleep and look at myself in the mirror. And
yeah,
that's
the both of us.
And that's just me. At the end of the day, because I, you know, there's a higher power that holds me accountable. Because I know I hear them all the time. It's like, that ain't right. Don't do that. Do that.
That
is, come back.
That is
and I'm
the
like,
both of us.
And that's part of the reason. And that's part of the reason why they're not where they used to be anymore. That's part. I attribute that to that. I really do.
There's multiple factors why things change.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I will say.
Yep.
You know, there definitely is.
But
what they did do is they sure did. They did one thing well is they opened the door for a lot of people by taking a sport and making it more mainstream, more commercialized for people to be aware of it.
Absolutely.
Right?
And for that, that, you always have to give them. You always have to give them. I mean, 10 years. They were pioneers. I mean, you have to. You always have to tip your hat.
You can't discredit that.
Because it wasn't easy. You know, it
right.
Easy.
But just what we're doing is, and you know what? I'll be honest with you. I don't even look at what they did and what we're doing is even the same. To be honest with you. Like, I'm just building a business. A lot of people say, hey, this and that, like, Ann Woman was a shoe and apparel business. Okay, great. Like, I took a sport. It's based around the same sport. We're
mm-hmm.
building a global sport franchise, and
mm-hmm.
I want it to be a sports lifestyle brand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm focused on. No matter who does what around us, that's
mm-hmm.
what we're doing. Right?
And that's a great thing. My thing, all I care about is, for me, my drive has always been, and Jerry knows this, my drive has always been, and I may sound cold, but for me, corporations going to be okay. Millionaires, they're going to be fine. I'm not worried about them. What I'm worried about is a low-end guy who has a special talent and gets to get there and taking care of them and making sure that here's my thing, give them the opportunity if they want it to have long-term success and long-term income when they're done playing and done on.
Right.
Because what it does is it cultivates loyalty, it cultivates a good reputation, which in business is worth millions. Is your reputation. And
but you know what's funny? There's you're 100% correct. And you're
mm-hmm.
exactly right. And that's why we're doing our business the way that we are. And my partners are the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's about, like I said, you can ask any of our guys that started with me. I
mm-hmm.
tell them all the time, I'm trying to teach you how to build a business for life after basketball.
Right.
Go ask AO. AO and I talk about it every day, all the time. Go ask Special Effects. He and I have the conversations about it all the time. A lot more recently, you know. Go ask Professor. We talk about it all the time, right?
Oh, Professor. Professor already know that lesson. He's been doing it so long. I had him on the show.
There's the other side of people judge a book by its cover,
exactly.
And they don't understand how much it takes to get to a certain point, and that's. Like, you can't, and that real old saying is you can't judge another man's money, right?
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
You can't always judge what it takes to get there, and that's the part that a lot of people don't understand. They don't understand the investment and the time, and I will reiterate the investment that goes into gaining the exposure,
right?
So they sit back and say, wow, you've got this, and this. But they never see the books to know when it becomes just a big, huge, profitable venture and what that profit margin really is.
Gotcha.
And so,
you're right.
Everything takes time to build and grow. No matter
right.
how glamorized
Absolutely.
It looks and how good it is,
Absolutely.
It takes time to get there.
And that's the thing. And that was one of the things that, that I appreciate that you told me that really makes me feel good about, you know, supporting Ball Up, because I want to support it just like I supported the last group, because I grew up watching that. I mean, I mean when I was watching, when I knew Shaq, it was just like, wow, this is incredible. Like, they actually took something that we do every day and actually created a business, and I loved it until I started to get, I knew Shaq, but I mean, as I started to get to know the other guys and hear the back end story, I was just like, that's crazy, like, that's nuts, you know, that shouldn't go on. But let me say this to you. Your tour is about to start up. Because I do want to give y'all some pub on here. I know your tour is about to start. What's your first date you guys start? Is it the 22nd or 23rd?
22nd.
And where is that at? Where is that first game going?
Kansas City.
Okay. And you
right.
guys are doing, like, I think it's how many games are you this year in the U.S.? You're doing a summer tour.
You know,
it's like 9, 10?
10, right.
10
9
games.
10.
Okay.
You're
okay.
exactly right.
And
you know, one thing I do want, because you brought this up earlier,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
that I think is key, and this goes back to, like, I would love for us to put something together to play a game there against you guys. Love to.
Well, let me know.
Maybe make it a yearly thing and an annual thing that we do together.
All you got to do is call me and let me
but,
know, because it's easy as you calling me.
But
and
I also know, you know, we do it, and then but there's also a special part of what we are doing now. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've now turned our TV series into almost like a sports competition series.
Right.
It's the reason why G. Smith is now a part of the team, where
mm-hmm.
we've now opened the doors. You made a statement earlier that,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's got to be more avenues than just the NBA, right? Well, we allow all the guys within the U.S. to come out and try out and compete because I believe there's millions of guys with amazing talent everywhere, every court, every boys and girls club, playing in every driveway everywhere that play ball that just may not have had a shot to be there. And I'm not saying that's the ultimate place to be because I can give you reasons why there's other places that could be smarter for somebody. But what we do is we allow them to all come try out and then represent their city and make up the team that plays at night for the NBA coach in their town, you know, to eventually be invited to our combine camp, which leads to the top 10 guys coming to the championship game, which you saw we held in Vegas last year,
right?
And having an opportunity to win a contract to now be a part of our organization, which Gary Smith, G. Smith won. And from there, you know, he now is tours with us. He's been overseas. You'll see him on the tour this year.
Right.
And one of the strongest statements he made, which I didn't even know about it at the game. I didn't watch it. I even watched our TV show on air that day, the championship game.
Okay.
Was the fact that after he won, he said, I can now call home to my family and my kids and tell them your dad is now a professional athlete.
Exactly. That's what it's all
and
about.
That,
That's what these guys want to do.
That speaks millions. You know, it's like, so that's what we want to provide for guys. We want to provide the opportunity for them all to come out and try out and be a part and really be a part of a, another sports organization to showcase their talent and do what they've loved their whole life and make it a real job.
Absolutely. And that's why I said me and you have to, off the air, once we get off of here, I'm going to set an appointment with Pam and me and you sit down and really talk because there's a lot of things that I know and I'm really excited now about it. Before, I always respected you guys, but I didn't really know that much because I hadn't talked to you. And but I'm really excited about the fact that you think this way and you're actually the CEO of a company. I think I can appreciate that. And the fact that you have a global thing with even television, film, right? That's great for me to know because you don't know how many people I meet and how many people, I mean, Jared can tell you. Everybody think I know everybody. How you know so-and-so? How you know so-and-so? And I'm just like, look, man, God puts me in a position to meet these people, and then I just establish a relationship where I talk to them every now and then, this and that. But the thing about it is I meet a lot of people who are very talented, who are not seen, who are behind the scenes, who are doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing. Like for instance, I give you an example. I got a friend of mine plays on my summer league team. Great guy. This dude actually graduated from school and is a legit filmmaker. Legit, working three jobs, a wife and kids, and struggling. And the dude is top notch film guy. He just finished doing a documentary on the Goodman. And I've seen parts of it, and I'm like, oh, my God. And I told him, I said, if I ever have a chance, I'm going to take your films and your stuff and submit them. I said, there's no reason, because he told me, and this is a guy, I'm going to tell you how he thinks. He says, man, he said, if I had a budget, what I could do. And I said, you're exactly right, and I see his talent, and I see it. I mean, this guy can write script. I mean, not only film it, but write it, script it, film it. This guy is a guy who does it all himself. Like, this is like what Prince is. He can write it, arrange it, put it, and look like he did it with a team. This guy is that talented. And it's like, I need to find somebody who's in a bigger position that I can pass your stuff to and look at you because you're undiscovered talent. And that's what you're doing with the basketball. But now that I know you're doing this other stuff, now I can call Obama and say, hey, look, the reasons I've been trying to get you, and I'm trying to get you to see this dude, and I'm getting ready to send this stuff to you. You need to answer your phone. So I definitely do that, and that's what I do. But, Demetrius, I just want to say, man, to be honest with you, I'm really angry, and I get mad sometimes. And the reason why I get mad is because I love my show. But the one thing I think about my show is that every now and then, I have all great guests, but every now and then I get a guest like you, guests like Sylvia, other people, that you, it just ain't enough time. It's like, God, dog, I got to have them on again because I can't get it because it's like so much stuff I want to ask and it's so much that you know. But we're going to definitely have you on again. And besides that, I'm going to call Pam, and I am going to – I'm telling you now, I'm going to arrange with Pam to set an appointment have a talk with you next week because there's some things I need to convey and talk to you about and ask you about, and because I think I have some ideas and some things to pass on to you, and I think you're the right person to do it based on what you told me here on the radio. And I know you ain't telling me this just because you're on here, because it ain't like we know, you know, Fox Station all across the country, but I know you don't have no reason to lie to me. And like I said, you know, Shaq said and Shaq said is that you're a good, you know, you're a very good guy. Like I said, Shaq ain't an easy person to impress. He's not an easy person to impress at all. But
thank you.
You know, I just want to thank you for being on the show. Before we get out of here, I want to say to everybody, please, when Ball Up comes to your area, please support Ball Up. Go out, take the kids out, family-friendly entertainment. You heard from the CEO. Great guy, about the players, and I just want you guys to support them. And like I said, other things I want to talk to you about, because, you know, we, the Goodman has a website. You know, we'd love to talk to you about that. We operate Twitter. I do the Twitter and Facebook. I created the website. I control all that. So I control the media. And definitely as far as the game is concerned, hey, look, DC, if you're listening, the man has said it. You heard it from his mouth. He wants to have it and be a yearly game. It doesn't make sense not to. It's I think we can both work for each other, and it'd be a great thing for this area. I mean, truly, truly be a great thing for this area. Besides,
you know what? And I have to know, like, I've started, it's funny, so they just got me into the whole social media, Instagram, Twitter type thing, right? And so now I'm starting to get on this Instagram page, people hitting me all the time from the D.C. area asking for just that. They'll hit me and send me messages on there all the time. Hey, we want to have a game. Hey, we're supportive of you guys. You know, they talk about Baby Shaq, the whole nine. So I definitely know it's there.
And that's why I said, because once you guys come, it's not like, well, who are these dudes? Everybody's going to know. And then everybody's going to be excited again because we've already had this before, and we know it works. We know it's great. It's a great game. And if we have that annually, I mean, that's going to become one of the biggest. Like, one of the biggest games we have is Nike, because we're sponsored. Nike sends down a group of guys from New York down to play us every year.
Okay.
And that's one of the biggest games. When anybody comes from outside of the area to come play us, it's always a big game. It's always a big game because then it becomes D.C. pride. It always becomes like this is a pride game. We want to be able to say we beat these guys and sent these guys home. You know, a couple of years ago we had the capital punishment game, and that was a great game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we did great with that. So we would like to do the same thing with you guys and have an annual game outdoor where we do this, and it would just be a great thing. With that being said,
Where was my invite to your capital punishment game when it was at Long Beach State?
Oh.
That part I don't know about because that's not me.
No,
that's the commissioner.
But I'm asking. Wait, hold on. I'm asking because you know us and you know Pamphlet. Where was my invite when you were in my city with your team having an event for me to come out and support you guys?
I can tell you where it was. The same place mine was, because I didn't get a plane ticket and I didn't get invited and I do the wedding.
But I was in the city.
No.
I was in the city.
You have to ask my house. When you arrange the game to come down here, you can talk to Miles all about that, and he'll tell you where your invite was. I have nothing to do with the invite. I do certain things I cut off. Demetrius, if I had anything to do with it, we was in your town, I'd love to invite you down. But I can tell you this, you are fully invited when you come down to get y'all ass kicked down at the burn farm. Yes, sir.
Hey,
I'm going to send the first shot over the bow.
You do realize a cold thing is?
What?
Who's one of your top players down there? Is it Baby Shaq? is it Baby Shaq? I just said one of the top.
Listen, one of the top, but remember this.
What's going to happen when he gets there.
Wait a minute.
He's going to be at home. He's at home.
Listen to me. We have beaten them with him on their team. That's your understanding.
He didn't have the surroundings of the rest of the Ball Up squad, brother.
Okay, I can name a few of them that wasn't there, but I know most of them have been there. And
that's
they've been
a cold team. And I would tell you, and I'm going to tell you to watch this year.
Uh-huh.
Now, I mean, you know they're all great. I mean, you know how great
they are.
Air up there and Bone Collector.
Oh, Air Up There is ridiculous.
And I'm going to start there again. You know how great Air Up There and Bone Collector and AO and Specialist, like, you know the whole roster, right?
Right, exactly.
But have you seen G. Smith yet?
No, I haven't seen him. I have to admit, I haven't seen him.
Oh, my God.
Well,
I mean, he might shake up your whole city. And you have to ask about that one, because I'm pretty sure he's going
to
support his teammate.
Wow. I have to let him do it, because, see, all this is going to do is slice up the game. So now, when we had a game, it's going to be like, do you remember those comments? So now it's going to be fun. But that's what
when you get leaders on the court like AO and Fest that are just veterans and Bone Collector that are just veterans, and they get young legs on the court like G. Smith, and you got Shaq down low just orchestrating things. Like,
exactly.
It's very, very deadly.
Is it? It is. No,
it's
I ain't gonna lie.
Very deadly.
He plays for me all in the wintertime. He plays for me. I'm a head coach of a semi-pro team. He plays.
I hear you, and I say again, he does not have that ball of team surrounded around him at that time.
You're right.
But when he does, it's a whole different ball game.
I do want to say one thing on the way out, though. I do appreciate the fact that you guys, and one thing I will say this, you guys get trainers to go one-on-one to get these guys into shape. And I just want to say, I appreciate what you did with Shaq, because Shaq is finally in shape. I looked at him, I said, damn, you ain't got that gut on no more. I said, I lost my gut, too. I saw him at the game. He was like, He's like, I'm in shape. I said, stay in shape, fat ass.
I think Shaq got a new breath of life, man, and I'm really excited about him. I'm excited too. To be honest with you,
I told Shaq, I've always told Shaq, I said, if you got in tip-top shape, like really, really shape, I said, dude, you could play into your 40s and be effective. I told him that. I'm getting my certification in personal training. I told him, I said, dude, if you got yourself in tip-top shape,
you ever seen anybody over the past 5 years with better ball handling skills than Pat the Rock?
AO pretty damn good and Silk's pretty damn good.
I'm not saying better,
but I'm saying the dude don't get me wrong.
AO's my man. So
I'm saying Pat. And Silk,
that's on a whole other level, right?
I would say Silk is about as his level too. They're about the same. I've seen both of them, but don't get me wrong. Pat against anybody, if you ain't top notch, like unless you're an NBA, you can't mess with him. You can't mess with Pat. I give you that. I haven't seen anybody in 5 years with his handle. The stuff
have
that he does with
some,
the ball is ridiculous.
Have you seen somebody's hesitation or crossover as quick as Bones?
No, I have to admit that. Probably last time I saw was maybe AI. But I haven't seen him since. But I'm just saying I haven't seen him since.
Right. It is actually all of them. It's just amazing, man. I played ball my whole life, and then when I started this organization, I went out there and watched them and played with them. It's still, after all these years, like I still are in awe after some of the things that they do. Still till today. Mm. And I've seen it hundreds of times.
Well,
it still shocks me.
Since I still got you, let me ask you this question. What made you, and why did it take so long, what made you go after Shaq? That's what I want to know.
Why did it take so long? I can tell you straight up truth. I mean, that's all I ever do. One, I didn't know Shaq, personally. Period.
You never saw him on film?
No, I saw him on film, but there's a lot of guys you see on film. Like when you start something in the beginning, it evolves into something bigger. So, it's just like this is just like in the record business, right? There's a million great artists out there, but you normally put your hands on the ones that you're the closest to, based off relationships.
Exactly.
That's just that's the truth, right?
Okay, I got you.
So based off relationships. And what we wanted, it was, and we had a great group of guys, because you remember at the beginning, we said Kenny Bruner, Bad Santa, who was amazing, Jerry Dupree, Assassin, who was amazing, you know what I'm saying? Go Get It was still flying at the time, and he was like, they were all closely associated. They just happened to be at the right place at the right time in the right relationship when we started. I would never discredit Shaq till today. And it's funny, we just had this conversation in China about it. And we got through our first season, and Shaq took the liberty upon himself to actually fly out here and be at our championship game, our very first season. And you know what that did?
Right.
We met each other finally.
Okay.
And I And ask Shaq, after the first game, I invited him to my house, which I never do. With the team, I had Shaq come. He was a part of our fun little party afterwards, end of the first season. We went with a bang. I threw a party for the whole team at my house.
Right.
And they enjoyed it, and Shaq was right there, a part of it. And ever since then, we built a relationship. And that relationship has now turned into him being a part of our organization.
Okay.
Because you can't deny him on the court. I just didn't know him.
Okay. I just didn't know because I was sitting there thinking, like, how did he go through two seasons? Like, my man ain't on. Like, what's going on? Like, how is he not on? You know, and I was starting to think, like, what's going on? And then Fess kind of was like, oh, he know about him. We done told him. You know, but, you know, all things in good time. You know, basically. So I was like, okay, I got you. So I said, okay, I got it. So, yeah, I got what you're saying. But I just wanted to hear from you because you got a great team, man, but – that dude, man, the destroyer is a problem, man. In all the times I've known him, I can honestly say he's the only player I can honestly say I've never, ever, ever, ever seen anybody get out on. Ever. I've never seen anybody get out. I've never seen him, be a pro, non-pro, NBA, it don't matter. I've never seen anybody get out on him. And when I say get out, I'm talking about I've never seen nobody get the best of him. I've never seen nobody make him, you know, fall, embarrass him. I've never seen it. Like he just.
I agree with you, but you know it's funny.
And it's rare.
I totally agree with that, but I think you can make that statement about a lot of guys on the team because not only look, if you need a bucket at the end of the day, you put the ball in Shaq's hands,
right.
And you get a bucket. Period.
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
If Ayo. If you need somebody to lead your team, and what people don't realize, if you need somebody just to peer out score at the end, like he goes to another level that people have never seen and you would
absolutely
not imagine and you don't watch it.
He was part of the reason
if
why
I ever want somebody
here.
Just if I ever want somebody just to go to the hole and the game's down and I all I can and we down by one and you just want them to get to the rack and not care who's in the way, you put the ball in Bone Collector's hand and guess where that ball's going? Straight to the hole.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
If you ever need a dude to break a zone down for you, who they gonna underestimate that can't shoot is Professor,
right.
And
his
jumper is Pierre, and people don't know about it.
Exactly.
And as legendary as he is, right, and all the moves and the tricks and the this and the that and the larger than life personality, you've seen some sick with it.
They
you
always,
watch that
yeah.
man set up and
yep.
shoot over and over and over and over,
again.
And he's wet as can be from outside that three.
Exactly.
You know,
you're absolutely right.
So it's like. And then when it comes to pure ball playing, and you can need a dude who just to battle for you, you go to special effects. And he's going to give his heart, and he will shed anybody, and especially when it comes to D. And people don't know that about him.
Nah,
games
on
the line in China, his defense stepped up times 100. And
right.
he shut their guard that they scored down when he took
exactly.
it to another level. Right?
Exactly.
Man, like Pat, when he gets on the roll, it ain't no stopping. And the thing about that is, when he's on a roll, it turns into a show, and when it turns into the show, when he's assisting everybody, he's doing great moves, and he's setting up all his dunkers, and he's playing his position extremely well.
Right.
It's really taking the heart out the other team because then they just they're in awe because the whole momentum shift is with our team
exactly.
at that point. So
exactly.
it's like so many elements that make up this team, and especially then we got Violator who does all the dirty work, who don't get credit because he doesn't put up 15 to 20 points on the board,
but
you know what?
Work.
It's
Rally
like running
down.
Into a brick wall every time
yep.
you try to go up against him down low.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
So it's like it's our team was formed with a chemistry of that and trying to make that chemistry. Oh, and then, you know what, I can't, like, ain't no way we hanging up this phone without talking about Springs.
Oh,
it's
Springs
impossible.
Is, I mean, electric is off the chain.
Like,
that dude.
I have never in life seen somebody as quick as he is,
yep.
score will like he does. He weighs 101 pounds soaking
exactly.
wet.
And,
and he will fly. He will shoot
and
like
dunk on,
super
dunk
quick.
On
you can't keep up with
yes.
him.
Yes.
He has a heart like no other.
No. Nope.
It's insane, man. It literally is. Like, during our tour last year, like, we got to a situation where certain guys were hurt. You know, AL's knee was hurt. He had surgery. He's back now. TJ Air up there had got hurt during a certain time. But in Springs, I mean, Springs was averaging 40.
Yeah.
And don't,
wow.
And I'd be damned if somebody talked to him, and then really get him hype and try to go at him. You can forget about it.
I just want to say to you, I just want to explain this to the audience. Springs is from my hometown, Detroit, Michigan. When you talk trash to us, one thing we're known for is defense. That's the one thing we're known for, physical, hard-nosed defense. And we know for when you talk trash, we're going to start playing better. So I just want to put that out there. It does not surprise me about Electric. I already know.
And it
Springs
does.
Is ridiculous.
And then when you talk about D, like everybody knows Air up there, Mr. 720, and
exactly.
all the dunks he does and flying.
Right.
I mean, his jumping ability is absolutely insane to me. Like
I've seen this dude
just float through the air.
No.
But what people don't realize is when games come down on the line, they need to watch him on D.
Yes.
Because he's all over the court. He will average 7 to 10 steals a game without you even paying attention.
Right.
Without you even knowing.
We ain't even counting blocks.
So oh, at all. Like,
as I said, we're not even counting blocks because that jumping ability
right.
is
dude
ridiculous. It's
in
stupid.
China, man, I swear he jumped from one side of the basket. And ask Shaq about this one because it was Shaq's man. He was going up against Shaq. Dude was trying to body Shaq in the paint. And Shaq was muscling him out. So the guy decided to shoot a turnaround fadeaway, right, because he couldn't back Shaq down, right? Big 6'6 dude or whatever, 6'6 dude. So dude's fading away trying to shoot this jumper, and Shaq's playing great D with his hand up just in his face, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guy's fading away. I watched Air up there jump from the other side of the basket and just hang in the air to the other side. And when the dude's fade away, when his shot went up, TJ, Air up there, blocked it. But damn near blocked it halfway out into the stands. He floated across the whole basket. And me and Shaq talk about it because Shaq was like, man, I looked up and this dude is just floating past me in the air waiting for the dude to shoot the ball. And people don't believe in it until they see it. Like, I have never seen anything like that. The dude just jumps and just hangs there.
That's crazy.
It's nuts. But
that's
why they're up there, right?
Do you guys have that? Do you guys have that game on film?
Yeah, we are actually getting that game.
We'll actually see it during the season or something, or how would that work?
We'll actually see it online. We're getting ready to set up. I think June 11th or 12th, we're going to start. You'll be able to see all our games from season one, season two, if you missed it. A lot of our international games, you'll be able to go online on two. We're launching a new site then, and with the launch of the new site, there'll be a section where you can go back and view all the past games, the seasons, the overseas games, and all that.
Oh, great.
And then we're going to start to live stream some of our international games as we start to tour overseas also.
That'll be really good, yeah. Make sure you keep us in the know because, like I said, we'll definitely promote you here. We'd love to support you guys and in any way we can. And the last thing I guess I want to say to you is that, I'm glad you guys came with a product finally. And what I support more than anything is the fact that you guys help the players. And that's the biggest, you give them opportunities. And, you know, everybody has an opportunity. It's up to them whether they take it or not or they use it or not. But if they have an opportunity, that's all some people want, and I think that's greatly appreciated. Demetrius, all I can say is, man, this is great meeting you finally to talk. I know I haven't
Likewise.
Met you in person, but to talk to you, and I don't know if anybody's ever talked about me, but they probably say I'm a crazy guy. You probably seen it. Well, you know we're friends online, so you already know I'm a nut anyway, and I'm pretty blunt. So I think one time, let me see. I know you're a Laker fan. So I know I think I razzed you one time about Kobe or something. I messaged you about Kobe, but that was about as far as I went because I was like, I ain't trying to mess my man's chances up. But now I know you're trying to dot a line. Now I can really get on you about that Laker fan stuff. But
born to raise.
I know you are. I can tell. You like got pictures sitting next to Jack Nicholson. I'm at the Laker game. I'm like, come on, man. Stop showing off, man. Don't show off, man. Don't do that. In fact, you start putting on your pictures. Stop showing
That's
off,
funny.
Demetrius. No, but I appreciate it, man. And I hope what happened is I can steer some people towards your way now that I know you guys do more than one thing and what you got because there's a lot of talent here in D.C. and around the area that is underground that nobody knows about. I'm talking about struggling people that are truly talented that don't have a chance. And one of the things I try to do is send them people, you know.
We definitely should. And for the ball players in D.C., I know that, you know, we may not be in D.C. this year, but we are in Baltimore and we are in New York. And, you know, I've watched – that's not that far away, so they should definitely come out and be a part if they want to try out, be a part of the open runs, the tryouts, and the games. You know, it's well worth it, as you
see. Well, that's what I said.
It changed G. Smith's life. So,
yeah, and that's what I said.
He,
let me know.
He lived in Arizona, and he flew and tried out in New York because he missed the Arizona tryout, and
wow.
Look what happened.
Yeah, and that's why I said the biggest thing is that's what I was really hoping for. I really thought you guys were going to come to D.C., but I know you guys are in Baltimore, but, you know, when you got guys with no car and got to get a ride and all that's kind of funny, but when they came, you know, but I hope one day you'll come down
here.
Find
a way to create an opportunity for yourself.
You're right. You're right. Don't get me wrong. But I'm hoping that you'll be, you know, hoping next time you'll come to Verizon Center or somewhere in D.C. where we can really come down and you can have, like
we
said,
come
down and have the game, and then the next day you had an overrun and all your stuff and just make it a complete D.C. weekend. You'll get the turnout. Cause, I mean, we definitely got the turnout when they were coming here to Verizon every year. So
Matt,
I want you.
I want to find out if you got a website, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah,
what's all the information
you can tell
that you want to
put
out?
Yeah, so we can. Let me let you get that out now.
Got you. So I know our website is www.ballup.com.
Mm-hmm.
And how about? I'm going to ask the question. The rest of them. What's our Twitter? Yeah, remember, I can't run it all by myself.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, our Twitter is at Ball Up.
Okay.
What else you need?
Facebook?
Give me the rest of.
Do you have a Facebook?
Facebook or Instagram?
Our Facebook is Ball Up Street Ball.
Okay. And Instagram?
And Instagram is Ball Up Street Ball.
Okay.
And then if they want to hit me personally on Instagram, which is the only one that I live on out of all those, it's ballup_CEO.
There we go. And that's what we want. So everybody, please follow Ball Up. The season starts the 22nd, you said, or 23rd?
22nd.
22nd. So it's going to start in Kansas City. When do you guys hit the airwaves, on that day also, or how does that?
No, it'll follow afterwards because the launch of the network is actually in August, so I'll send you airing schedule so that you'll be able to then let everybody know the airing
schedule. Okay, so basically you guys will be on during the fall.
Correct.
Okay, great. But please get by and go see any of those games if it's in your area. Please support Ball Up. You already heard it here first. The man supports the players. And supports and provides opportunity for players, and I think everybody should get behind that. If you're out to the open runs, please go out, try out. You never know what can happen. You know, you can only say you can't do it if you don't try. But Demetrius, it's been great, man.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna definitely have you back on. I think what we're gonna is, if you don't have a problem, I think we're gonna try to have you back on once the tour is over, so we can try to talk to you about post tour and what you guys have plans for then, so that way we can, you know, then that'll go and coincide with the launch of the network and that kind of stuff coming on. So I think we can put something together like that.
Gotcha.
And in the meantime, man, God bless you and your family and Ball Up the company. I appreciate it. And I want to set a time up definitely with Pam. I'm going to be texting her in the next few minutes and say, look, you need to set a time for me and Demetrius to talk. And then we'll talk about things from there. And then maybe one day when I'm out in Vegas, March. With Mayweather, watching him train and all that kind of stuff. So next time I'm out in Vegas, I'm going to definitely call you up and be like, hey, man, meet me in Vegas.
Hey,
you
listen,
know.
You can give me any excuse to go to Vegas.
Oh, for real? Okay,
any excuse.
Good. I tell you, the only rule is, if I call you come to Vegas, breakfast on you. That's all I've had. Breakfast on you.
Hey, listen, you give me an excuse to go to Vegas, you might have a lot more on me than just breakfast. How about that?
I'm good.
Wow.
So guess what? So I'm going to get off the phone now and tell her, honey, we're going to Vegas. At some point in the fall, we're going to Vegas. We are going to Vegas. In fact, I need to talk to you so I can go to the next fight in Vegas on Mayweather because I know you got connects. So,
I'm going to give you an easy way to read between the lines on how to do that.
Okay.
When you go follow me on Instagram at ballup_CEO, find our Ball Up DJ on there, who's DJ Bling, and then figure it out from there when you want your connections to Mayweather.
Bet. But I'm going to call you anyway. I don't care. When I go to Vegas, I'm calling you. I'm calling him. I'm like, man, what? I don't want room service. Call Demetrius.
That's what I'm saying.
All right,
no,
I appreciate
thanks,
it, you guys.
I appreciate it, man. Y'all take it easy, Demetrius. And with that, we are out of here, and we will talk to you later. Thanks, Demetrius. I appreciate it, man. God bless you, man.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right, we're out.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Jerry, we're out, man.